The office light went out. Graham emerged from his sheltered recess and walked along the side of the hangar until he could see the administration block's main entrance. The drizzle was worsening, becoming rain. His suit felt cold and unbearably clammy, restricting his movements. A prodigious amount of water was running off the easy stack panel roof overhead, spattering onto the chippings round his soaking feet. Despite the physical discomfort and nagging consternation at Latton's presence, he felt an excitement that had been absent for years. This was real journalism, the million-to-one break, the hazardous follow-up, getting the story out at any cost. Those shits back in the editing offices could never handle this. Safe, paunchy, career creatures. And they would know it too. His real victory. Latton and his cohorts had all emerged into the bleak night wearing cagoules against the weather. They had their backs to him, heading for the flight line, where the indistinct outlines of the parked McBoeings formed windows into an even graver darkness. Latton, betrayed by his height, had his arm around Marie. The beauty and the beast. Look, what can she see in him? For Marie is just a simple colony girl, proud and decent, loving her new planet, working long hours, like all of this city's residents. She shares the planetary ethic of her neighbors, striving hard to achieve a better world for her children. Yet somehow she has stumbled. A warning that none of us is immune to the attraction of the dark side of human nature. I look at her and I think, there but for the grace of God go I. Halfway along the McBoeings was a smaller space plane. It was obviously Latton's goal. Bright light shone out of its open airlock, casting a grey smear across the ground. A couple of maintenance crew personnel were tending the mobile support units under its nose. Graham sneaked up to the big undercarriage bogies of a McBoeing 40 meters away and crouched down below the broad tires. The space plane was one of the small swing-wing VTOL marks starships carried in their hangars. He switched his retinal implants to full magnification and scanned the fuselage. Sure enough, the name Yaku was printed on the low angular tail. Some kind of argument was going on at the foot of the steps leading up to the airlock. The administration official was talking heatedly to another man wearing a cagoule with the LDC emblem on the arm. Both of them were waving their arms around. Latton, Marie, and Emlyn Herman stood to one side, watching patiently. The last obstacle has been reached. It is ironic to consider that all that stands between Latton and the Confederation is one immigration official, one man between us and the prospect of galactic tragedy. The argument ended. A Jovian bank disc was offered. Can we blame him? Should we blame him? It is a foul night. He has a family which looks to him for support. And how harmless it is, a few hundred fuser dollars, to avert his eyes for one swift minute. Money which can buy food for his children in these troubled times. Money which can make his life that fraction easier. How many of us would do the same? How many? Would you? Nice touch, that. Involve people. Latton and Marie went up the battered aluminium stairs, followed by a furtive Emlyn Herman. The administration official was talking to the two ground crew. Just as he reached the airlock hatch, Latton turned, the hood of his cagoule falling back to reveal his face in full. Handsome, well-proportioned, a hint of aristocracy. Edenist sophistication, but without the cultural heritage, that essential counterbalance which made the affinity gene carriers human. It looked as though he was staring straight at Graham Nicholson. He laughed with a debonair raffishness, mocking. Everyone in the Confederation who accessed the Sensorvis in the weeks which followed experienced the old journalist's heart thud inside his ribs. All of a sudden breath was very hard to come by, stalling in his throat. The pause, the derision. It wasn't an accident, chance. Latton knew he was there and didn't care. Graham was too far beneath him to care. He is going now, free to roam the stars. Should I have tried to stop him? Put myself up against a man who can make entire worlds tremble at the mention of his name? If you think I should, then I am sorry, for I am so frightened of him, and I do not believe I would have made any difference, not against his strength. he would still be on his way.